It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Dwayne Johnson calls for a stunt double, who does The Rock turn to?
The police!
When Ham the astro shrimp said, no more space flights! Who did great minds at NASA turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only... He's the poster child for no cloning. Paul LaVoy!
Wouldn't it be...
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's the first Wednesday in July, July 6th, 2022. You know what that means. Of course, my co-host knows what that means, or the host of the Pioneers, Havasu Pioneers radio show, Dan De Los Santos.
Well,
how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Paul. You spilled that out. I'm pretty good.
Blah, 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 blah. Right, right.
Well, anyway. We're pretty darn excited today because we've got a special guest. He has a long history here in Lake Havasu City, which also includes playing the mayor, the role of the mayor for
playing
a period
the mayor.
Of time. Yes. Yes, and he did it extremely well, I might add. We have Chuck Langerfeld with us today, and we also have Buck Dopp, who is with me as an additional co-host working the show, because we've got some really fun questions for Chuck. And we want to make sure that we get all the answers to all these fun questions. And so, Chuck, I'm going to turn this over to you, and I'm going to let you tell us how you got to Havasu and a couple of the roles you played.
Well, I can't believe Pioneers, the time's gone by that fast. I came in 1968, landed here about July 8th, and it was, you know, about 114. And I came back and I moved out. I loved it. I still love it. I raised my family here, two sons, my wife of 61 years,
wow.
Janet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time for a learner's permit. But if you guys are married, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, we do.
That means I've just taken off the training wheels 34 years.
Now, what brought you to Havasu? You were a realtor in Michigan at the beginning,
yeah,
right?
I put a snow shovel over my shoulder and started walking south. And after a guy asked me what it was, I walked 50 miles more south. And I ended up in Havasu. Actually, I wanted to get away from that terrible weather. Oh, you know. And I was on the Southwest Michigan, and it rains all the time in the summer and snows all the time in the winter. We were 30 miles inland from the lake, so we got all the junk.
And you bought your first property here in 1968, is that right? And that was a residential property.
Yes, I did. And then I went home and got to thinking about it, being in the real estate business, and I went and looked up the generator, came back and traded it for a commercial property on McCullough Boulevard at 2079, and then proceeded to build a building there, 5,000 square foot single story building for business of any kind. And I spent the next 2 years getting financed, which was not easy in Havasu, and getting it built and finding tenants. And then the family moved out in 1970, and I established a small office there with a little mortgage company, and nobody wanted to lend money here, so I opened a Ward's catalog store, of all things. So I moved refrigerators and sold tires. And
did Steve Blundell wants to know if you ever sold cars in the 70s?
No. Well, yes, I did, but it wasn't the 70s. It was the early 90s. I had Chuck's Cars and Trucks out at where Canyon Tire is. And I had about five spaces, and I was kind of always looking for the unusual. Like I say a 1975 Cadillac, the big one with the 500 engine, and I had cars like that. I was kind of a car collector myself.
Well, you know, for some of our listeners, Chuck, I'm not sure they understand that some of these businesses you opened up, they were survival mode for us. Without those businesses, we wouldn't have some of the items you brought up. I mean, there wasn't, didn't go next door to the competition. There wasn't any.
No, and it was the toughest place in the world to make a living. You know, everybody had to do something different. I think of guys like Chuck Webster and Dal Striley and those guys, they built the bridge. They put the bridge together. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have experience building the London Bridge, for heaven's sakes.
I've heard stories from guys like Gary Kellogg who were here when the McCulloch plant shut down. How tough did business get then?
Well, we've gone through these sort of bubble, real estate bubbles that kind of California gets, they die and we get real sick. Mm-hmm. And that happens about every 10 years. And I've been here, well, I guess through five of them. And we got another one coming, I'm afraid. But nonetheless, people did whatever it took to, you know, people did all kinds of strange things. You know, a guy that was in the furniture business, he worked laying stones on the bridge. Or he might end up being a plumber's helper, whatever, if he could bring home a check. And a lot of people that never built a house became builders. It was a fun time. It was just different. You couldn't believe what was going on. You were too busy keeping your nose above the water to notice too much bad stuff, and you just had a good time.
You know, I remember what our hourly wage was back then, and I don't think a lot of people really grasp what that was like, because we were talking 75 cents to $1.25 an hour, and that was sometimes that was really good money. And, of course, the contractors made a little bit more. But I can remember going to high school with the guys, and then they'd get off school, and they'd go to work. And they were, you know, making, you know, money as being a contractor's helper. And that's how you got your first car or your boat. And so, you know, that must have really been a hardship on some of the parents trying to make a living or a survival for their families.
Well, I'll give you an example of Lee Barnes was the football coach. And he took his kids and he established a janitor company, and he cleaned all the stuff up and down Main Street, and he cleaned this building, the wood building, all of them, and he used his football team and to do the work. And the kids, of course, were just tickled to get the money, and I'm sure we're talking 75 cents, $1, $1.50 tops, and they worked like the dickens, and he supervised, and it was a different world.
I guarantee you we got some listeners that were part of that cleaning crew.
Oh, I'm sure you have. In fact, I can probably name a couple, but I'm not going to.
That'd be interesting if they called in.
Yeah.
854.
Please do.
854-KNTR, 928-854-5687.
Cool. So, Buck, you had a question.
Yes. You got into politics at some point, and what was your motivation to throw your hat in the ring, and tell us about that journey?
Well, it really wasn't getting into politics. I just wanted to have some recreational things here for the kids and for the older people, too, for that matter. Parks and recreation was kind of my thing, and I went to before the council, and they just kind of poo-pooed me. They were older fellas, and they had things going pretty good, and the town was doing all right. We were running along, and they were quite happy, and I was unhappy, and so we went after them, and so finally I had to run for the council, and did, and got elected, and I'm pushing and pushing, and 4 years in a row I voted against the budget because there was no Parks and Recreation Department,
wow,
no money allocated for it, so we go on a little further, and so I got about 150 kids to come to a council meeting with bathing suits on and rubber tubes
and nowhere to go
and air mattresses and stuff and walk in, and the swim center was born. Jane Camlin, a nice lady and a lifeguard and a supervisor of Red Cross for swimming instruction, had been trying to get a pool and worked day and night and been working, and she helped me, and we got it done, and it was her germ of an idea. Some people said, hey, why do we need a pool? We got the lake. I said, fine. I want to see you down there November 1st. You and I are going swimming. And, of course, it's just colder than a well digger's grave on November 1st.
I'm glad he used that expression.
And, especially the water.
Right. Yeah.
And you also got heat because you had a Canadian company do the work.
Well, I got berated for that. But like I said, at the time, who better to build an indoor pool than the Canadians? Hell, they couldn't do an outdoor one. It was too cold all the time. And they were well known and had licenses and everything. We had nobody licensed in the area, and almost no one in Phoenix, and nobody had built a wave pool like that except for, I think it was called Big Sur.
Yeah, over
Big
Phoenix.
Surf.
Yeah.
Big Surf.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, and so we put in the wave pool in the, because we needed more things to do in the community, and with a zero shoreline on one end of the pool, that was also something they specialized in. That means that a handicapped guy like I am now can just walk in, or you can roll a wheelchair in. It has a beach, in effect.
So is that to say, Chuck, there was no Parks and Rec Department at that time either?
None. Nothing.
Really?
No, and I bugged the mayor, and his idea of a big Parks and Rec thing is he had the Phoenix Symphony come out and sit on the golf course and play. Needless to say, his wife became ill, and so he retired, and so the person that was going to run, I didn't think was going to handle the Parks and Rec right, so I said to the mayor, who was retiring, I got to run. I'm going to run for mayor. I don't want to be mayor. But are you going to take a break now?
No.
Anyway.
No, we're just holding
so,
for a question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So he went. That made him mad, I guess, because he decided to run against me, after all, not retire. And so we had a very
contentious,
hot and heavy election. But it was good, and we got things going, and Rotary Park happened. We've been working on that in my mind with Harvey Jackson, who was a later mayor.
Mm-hmm.
We had two or three guys that were going to help us, you know, do the grading, like, you know, Dub Campbell and a couple other graders. But we couldn't do that because of the rules and regulations that your good old legislature puts
right.
in that you can't, you know, get people to do it. We had excavators said, give me the gas, we'll do it for nothing, you know.
So, you know, back in those days, when we talk early Havasu, a lot of people look at Lake Havasu City today as a retirement community, but that wasn't the case when you showed up. Along with our parents and a great many other people, the average age for an adult was around the 30s, wasn't that correct?
37.
37 years old.
Wow. Now, the only reason I know that is I started competing with Lee Schoblum for a license here for a radio station back in 1969-70. Well, we had to make surveys and do things like that. The first thing the FCC asked me is what was I going to program for all the Indians across the lake? And I told them, so I checked into it. It was 47, and the chairman of the tribe was a radio engineer in Hawthorne, California.
Oh.
So anyway, But to make a long story short, yeah, and that's why we had two junior highs. I mean, there was a lot of kids in school in the 80s. And then we begin to move more towards retirement, and now we only have one junior high, and I don't know what's going to happen on the outskirts between here and I-40. I suspect there are going to be a lot of inexpensive homes, a lot of places where people that can work in our community who can't afford to live here now are going to be, and that's going to bust the schools again.
Well, you know, you talked about places to live in today's world in our town. Back then, we didn't have that many places to rent either.
Oh,
I
no.
mean, I remember people living in a lot of RVs, a lot of single-wide trailers, McAfee Guthrie Trailer Park, places like that out on the island. I mean, we just didn't have the residents, which I think drove our construction industry in our town.
Well, that's true. And Desert Hills was full of people that just got here. I can remember, I won't mention his name, a guy showed up, and man, I'm, you know, he just barely had threads on his pants, and really tough, and he's in the Bucks today and still here working hard. You could do it in Havasu. There was opportunity, and it lay all over the ground, but it didn't shine like gold nuggets. It looked like blisters.
I'd like to talk about.
Well, we're gonna. Oh, I think we're gonna take a break.
Okay.
Paul, are you ready?
I'm giving it a shot.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
let's do it.
Yep. So we're here with Chuck Lagerfeld and Buck Dopp, and we'll be back in just a moment.
That's right. The Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. We'll be right back in just a moment. Stay with us. We're back on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating, also Mojave Mortgage, Patio Paradise, SamsGuns.com, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, and Springberg Wealth Management. And if you miss any part of this show, just go to KNTRTalk.com right there on the homepage, whether you're on your mobile phone or on a computer. You should be able to find the tab that says Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. And we'll get that up later this afternoon, Dan.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. And Paul mentioned, we have some really great shows from the last 2-3 years.
This is number 35, I
believe. Yeah, isn't it? It's amazing how many 35. We have. Wow. So we're here with Chuck Lagerfeld and Buck Dopp, and we're touching on some old topics that helped create our town. And Chuck's got a really good memory and a hand in on some of that activity that helped build those things. And so we talked about the highway, which I think came before some of the other things we talked about. So, you know, we had Old 95 that came in, and it was a roller coaster of a ride to get into town.
Oh, it sure was. I used to go to Kingman every day because I had a radio station up there, and Dr. Nelson, he had to deliver babies up there, so he and I drove up every day, and sometimes he'd be first, and sometimes I'd be second, and the dips were so that the sparks came off the bottom of my car, and you couldn't go much over 45 miles an hour.
So then all of a sudden, there was a discussion about a highway. Well, of course, we had the road coming in from Parker that hit
Oklahoma. Well, first we thought it ought to be a grade crossing, and then half the people thought, no, it ought to be an overpass, and then it ought to be a grade, and we argued back and forth, and we ended up doing the overpass. And personally, I think it should have been the grade crossing. But then that's another argument another day. Just like the swim center, guys. They were going to put the swim center.
I love this.
Where the up by the city hall there, so it was near the junior high. And they were going to put the police station and the court down in where the swim center is. And there was a few people that thought Chief Wilkins ought not have that beautiful view of the lake. So they come to a meeting and raised heck and said, change them, switch them. And we wanted to get the job done, so rather than fight for another year or something, we did. We switched them, and probably shouldn't have, but nonetheless, it's worked out fine now. And it's a great swim center. My gosh, I can't believe it's as old as it is. They've had to maintenance it, but it wasn't too bad. It's lasted a long time, and it's really still super.
So now you built the swim center, but the Parks and Rec really wasn't a department at the time, or was becoming a department.
It was just becoming a department.
How did you change the culture of the town to get more? I mean, we have beautiful parks here now.
I voted against the budget 4 years in a row and beat the council over the head. And one night we brought in about 150 kids in swimsuits and inner tubes and beach balls and sand buckets, and they said, "We give up. We give up." They could see. But we were running Little League on the school fields, and we couldn't get the sprinklers coordinated. So if you were playing Little League and you were a coach, and I was at one time, you took three or four of those white 5-gallon pails with you. So when the sprinklers come on, you'd just put the pail over them upside down and have your bat boy sit on the pail so it didn't sprinkle the pitcher or the second baseman.
That is hilarious.
So, you know, there must have been some real interesting things that led up to you deciding to be mayor. And that was 1990 to 1992. Is that correct?
That's correct. There was a change in the regime. The mayor was retiring, and then at the last minute he decided to run, and I decided to run because I thought it'd be somebody new, and it stayed the same. And we had a battle, and I got lucky and won, and we got some more things done, and we finished the police station up there. And I'll tell you a story on that one quick. The day we dedicated it, the guys came, and everybody's complaining because the whole upper story was empty. But the chief got a crime lab from Phoenix to come out and occupy it, rent it. And so now we had a crime lab on the west side of the state, and that was really nifty. But everybody said, "Well, you need to build it so big." And the guys that designed it were there for the ribbon cutting, and they'd cut the ribbon in Prescott the day before. They designed a new police station up there, and Prescott had just hired a new detective and didn't have a spot for him. In other words, a brand new building, and they didn't have any room. We're still got plenty of room. That station was state of the art when we built it. It's still adequate, and the jail part works, and you know, the drunk tank has a floor that you can just flush it like a toilet.
Great visual, by the way, for radio.
Yeah, I'm really glad that I haven't had the opportunity to experience the
flushing. That's something you're glad you never found out.
Me too.
Well, we had a councilman by the name of Connor Blevins. He was a retired police officer from Oakland. He was about 6'4 and about 275 pounds and a real nice guy. And he was really a Cocker Spaniel, but he looked like a Mastiff, you know. Mm-hmm. But he helped on that police station, and he and I headed that committee. So I kind of always think of the police station as one of my pets. But really, it was Connie Blevins that got the police station where it is and as good as it is.
You know, I'd like to mention something. One of the big controversies when you were the mayor, where you were trying to promote the city, and you brought in this article you made, we don't mind the young people, says Lake Havasu City Mayor Chuck Langerveld, stayed true to his word. And there you are in the water with two young ladies on one side and two young ladies on the other side. They're laughing. You're laughing. And this went all over the place. And Dr. Nelson told me that you really took a lot of heat for this because it gave the impression that in Havasu anything goes.
And it says Party Town USA on the headline.
Yes. Right.
Wow.
That's
scandal right there.
That's the front page of the of the West insert of the LA Times.
Oh,
and
no.
It happened to be the biggest one they ever had, the biggest Sunday section they ever had. And that was the... That was the cover sheet. And so some people in Havasu did see it, and I did take a little warmth Not too bad, however. But this, I just rolled my pants up and went in there, and everybody talks about the bathing beauties and the Scandi bathing. Well, you can take a look. By today's standards, they're overdressed.
Yeah, you got that right.
I really think you did a lot right there to promote retirement in Lake Havasu City.
Could be.
That was the beginning of spring break.
Yeah, but if you read the article, the mayor says, you come to Havasu, you break the law, you get fined, and you go to jail. Right. I mean, it was I was tough about the whole thing, and we were trying to hold it down, you know, but not the LA Times. They wanted to promote, hey, Party Town USA.
Did that cause a lot of new tourists to come to town? Did you notice any difference after that article?
No, the kids took this place over spring break for, what, 15 years?
Oh, yeah.
1 year they burned all the picnic tables and Crazy Horse and a big bonfire.
In that article, there's actually a row of houseboats in like Copper Canyon, one of the bays, which was the start of the magnitude that reached over 3,000 boats in that canyon.
You could walk across the canyon on boats at one time.
I remember
that. Yeah.
And the kids kept jumping off the cliffs, and every year we'd get two or three paraplegics out of it, or quadriplegics. Yeah. And 1 year when I was mayor, so it must have been about 90, we sent three jumps to Las Vegas, and they called us and said, don't send us any more. Our, you know, section for people with spinal injuries is full. Mm. Send them to Phoenix. And we had two more. We had five that year.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And it just couldn't stop it.
Wow. Ready to take a break?
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. Again, we're with Chuck Lungenfeld and Buck Dopp, and we're talking about old Havasu and how we got to where we're at today.
Great stories. And if you want to call in, you have some input, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. And don't forget the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with the host of the Pioneers Radio Show. Of course, that's Dan DeLisanto. Speak Out, brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Mojave Community College, GDK LLC, SunPower by Esme Electric, the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, and also, of course, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. And Dan, you're a shop local kind of guy.
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, shop local, spend local, eat local, and play local. The job you
don't
save.
Don't get caught not spending your money in Lake Havasu.
That's right. The job you save may be your own. Let's welcome our guest back.
Absolutely.
In.
So we have Chuck Lungenfeld, and we have Buck Dopp with it. Chuck was our mayor back in 1990 and through 1992, and he's sharing some really great stories about the early years of Lake Havasu, some of the buildings, some of the organizations that got started that he played a role in. We even talked a little bit about spring break, which I'm happy to say has calmed down quite a bit from those days. You know, some of the, you're the guy, you know, in the newspaper with all the hot girls, and you were quite the topic. But there were so many things that you were involved with, and one of those things was a baseball team.
Yeah, that's a funny story. My accountant came to me. He says, I got an investment for you. Why not be too bad? And he says, there's three, four guys here in Havasu that want to start a baseball team in Helena, Montana. There's a vacancy in the Pioneer League. And it was Jim Phipps, Harry Gurley, John Freitas, and Dave Bishop, who was the ex-county manager the year before, were interested in running that team. And I was to be just an investor. So we kind of got together, and we had to pay a few bills that the Phillies had left behind 7-8 years before, and they'd been without a team for about 3 years. So we got the team started. We drafted kids. We had them tryouts in Vegas, Chicago, Phoenix, and Lake Havasu, and one in L.A., and we signed 32 young men, and we went out, and we won the league. We beat the Dodgers, and we beat the Reds for the playoffs.
Wow. Did you say if this was single, double, or triple A?
This is single A, short season, 60 games in 59 days.
My goodness.
Wow.
A lot of doubleheaders?
Yeah. Not too many. We had to travel, see?
Right.
We had Medicine Hat, Las Vegas, Idaho Falls, Pocatello, Great Falls, Montana, Butte, Montana. We were in Helena.
Medicine Hat is Calgary, right? Is that in
Calgary and Las Vegas traded.
Oh.
Las Vegas was AAA, so AAA went to Calgary, and single A, short season, went to Vegas. Salt Lake City, rather. Mm-hmm. I said Vegas, I meant Salt Lake.
The Salt Lake
they
Bees.
Traded teams.
Yeah.
And man, did Salt Lake ever come on. Well, you know, big city, a lot of money, and they had a good team.
Where did you make your
we
money?
We played them the second year for the championship and lost.
Where did you make your money?
Well, we made the money at the beer stand, and my wife sold souvenirs, T-shirts, hats, and... it was a dollar a holler for the kids and retired, and the rest was $2.55. We had a 16-ounce beer for $1, you know.
Oh,
and
man.
It was the place to go in Helena. And
right.
We're talking early 80s now, 84, you know, and it was fun, and I never had more fun in my life.
Yeah.
And you know, we used a Legion stadium, and so we couldn't put up permanent signs. So every time we had a game, we had the signs on 8x10 canvas, and we put them on the chain link fence.
You wouldn't happen to remember what the typical player salary was for single
well,
A?
Well, sure, we paid them the first year $600 a month.
Wow. Oh, man.
And they got I think $14 a day to eat.
That
meal,
was their per
meal
diem.
Money,
that was their
they
per diem,
it.
Yeah.
Did any of them make it into the majors? Were on your
oh,
team?
Yeah. How about Gary Sheffield?
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
Hit over 500 home runs.
Yeah, he did. Uh-huh.
Finished up with the Yankees.
I think so, yeah.
And that, pay, the Brewers that pay included transportation, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, we had other guys. Jack Doherty played for the Texas team.
Uh-huh.
He was our first baseman. He hit 402. Nobody's beat that yet. We had a pitcher went 11-0 the first year.
Wow.
Nobody's beat that either. But he didn't get pulled up. They didn't think he was big enough. He was a screwball pitcher. Had been worked under the coach at Oral Roberts, who was a screwball major leaguer. I'm trying to think of his name, and naturally I got a senior moment on the air.
Uh-huh.
But nonetheless, it was amazing to see these kids go on. We had three that went on the first year. After that, we had a lot of the Brewers made it, you know.
Right. Well, swinging our discussion back toward Havasu, you had a radio show in Kingman, but that wasn't your first choice.
No, I wanted to be... I wanted to own the radio station in Lake Havasu. So Lee Schoblum and I competed for it, and... Without going into a lot of details that are boring as the Dickens, he won. And so I ended up buying the station in Kingman and commuted for 10 years.
That was no easy commute, by the way, folks.
Oh.
That was a tough commute.
Is this before Highway 95? So this is before Highway 95
was
put in.
This
okay.
is one of the road, if you're ever looking to get the same experience as the road right outside of Topoc that goes to Oatman. And that still is the same road design as it was back in the 60s here.
That's Route 1.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. It's still spooky.
Wow.
Well, those two big peaks as you go out of town, we called them Big Potato Peak way back in the 60s. But anyway, there's still some of that road left there if you want to take a look.
Yep.
It was unreal. It was macadam and curvy, and you knew to slow down because there would be a big oil spot where the car had shook the oil off the crankcase going over it, jarred so hard. So you'd come around the corner at 45 miles an hour and see that big black spot and hit the brakes and get down to 30, and then you could go on, and then there'd be another one.
So after being mayor, and you looked at all, when I think about how many mayors you've seen come and go in Lake Havasu City, what's your thought? I mean, what's your current comment about the transition of several mayors and the successes and maybe some of the mistakes along the way to where we are today?
Okay. We've been lucky. We've had some really good people, and most of them weren't politicians. They were just people that were trying to make the community better,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of why we all got into it. Might have been a mistake or two along the line. I remember that when I left as mayor, that we had some money in the bank and a location for the second bridge and an estimate to do the second bridge because Laughlin had done his, had just finished his second bridge, which was about $3.5 million, not counting the location. And so we thought we could do it. Now they're talking $50 million, and they're not sure whether they ought to build a bridge.
Right.
Now, they should have built a bridge when you could have built a bridge for under $10 million, but we didn't, and I don't know what they're going to do now. And I can't believe it. The other day I saw in the paper $250,000 for a consultant to decide whether we need a bridge or not.
Well,
heaven's sakes, we did that 30 years ago.
I was just going to say, that's why I had to ask.
Well,
and Gary Myers did a whole workup on that. I mean, he did all this research a few years ago.
And again, it got changed by Popular coming to the meeting and raising heck to change where we were going to put it originally to a second location, which was, I think, even better. And I don't know where they're going to put it now. I don't think they know, but I would like to think it was in. Now, we were told that we were killing the London Bridge and it was going to end up being rubble. And then I hear from the mayor the other day that, oh, gee whiz, that bridge is in first-rate condition, no problems at all. So I really don't know, but I think a second bridge is something we need, and the quicker we get it, the cheaper it'll be.
Yeah,
and that's about my opinion on that.
They're looking at it going from the south end of Lake Havasu State Park to Crazy Horse, connecting
right
around there.
Yeah,
right. So without going into it in too deep much detail, we're no longer able to host events on the London Bridge because of the traffic scenario on the island with that additional bridge. On the occasion that we may want to use the bridge, we might have that opportunity reopened to us.
Oh, that would be great.
So, you know, and then, of course, it's a round-trip traffic scenario that really reduces the wear on the bridge and gives everybody a second opportunity to reach their destinations. Okay. So, you know, Chuck, all these years, your family, are you still happy that you're here in Lake Havasu City?
Well, I'll steal a line from Don Knoll, who was a early carpenter and then remodeler, and then he became our postman. He did Main Street Mail. All you people know him probably, but he always said that if he had to borrow money to leave town, he would have considered it a privilege to live there, and that's just the way I feel. I'm up there now. My son was home and visited me. He left this morning to go fishing in Montana, fly fishing. The water's kind of high, so he's worried. But he's, 59 years old. I raised my kids here. They went to school here. They went to ASU. I raised my family here. I couldn't be happier.
Well, we'll do a shout-out to Don Knoll. Don, it's really great to have you in our community still. He was my next-door neighbor my entire life growing up.
Yeah.
Close friends with my parents.
He made that cane.
Oh, yes, he did. I wish you could see it. It's a saw horse. It's a saw handle with a screwdriver in it with a platform. It's very classic.
And it works.
And it works.
I need it, darn it.
So, Buck, any additional questions we've got?
Well, one thing Janet said to me that I want to just throw out here. She said one time she was yelling at you, and one of your five-year-old boys said, "Stop yelling at him. He's a good dad." And she said that you were really a wonderful father. You raised the kids. And Dr. Nelson, your buddy Don Nelson, said that you're a really good Christian man. And he said whenever he wants prayer at some meeting, he calls on Chuck Langerveld. And I thought those two things really kind of sum up you as a man, I think.
Well, thank you for saying so. I've been saying the prayer at Rotary for 50 years in Rotary here in Havasu. And when I'm there, I usually do the invocation. And we had invocations when I was mayor, and we had usually a guest pastor would come and do it. But if he wasn't, I was there. There's no problem. We need to all take a little time and pray every day. Yeah. It won't hurt you a bit. Yeah. So I guarantee it.
When we all met at Denny's the other day, we had one of our local sheriffs with us. And who was that with us?
Tom Millay.
And so I'm hoping we can bring Tom on for a show, much like we've had today with Chuck, because we've got, I know that he brings with him some stories. He said some he can tell and some he's got to go to the grave with. But some sheriff stories about our community back in the day that will certainly still raise the hair up on some folks, and other folks are going to look over their shoulder and go, "Are they still looking for me?
Does the statute of limitations run out?"
Chuck, anything you would have done differently over these past however many years it's been since you've been in Lake Havasu City?
Well, that's something that everybody has to think about, you know, especially if they've been in any kind of public service, and you look and say, "Well, gee, we could have done that, or we should have done that." And I've always been started out with my kids. They'd ask me, "Well, what if?" And I'd say, I don't answer "what if" questions, because it's "what if Superman came down and grabbed my car and took it to Kingman, and then I wouldn't be there real early." You know, I mean, there's just no end to it. So I don't pester my mind too much. But I could have done it better. I'm sure I could have. I'm sure there's things I should have done. But I don't regret doing what I did, because sitting on your hands and doing nothing is the worst.
Is there a good story that we haven't asked you about that you'd like to share while you have this opportunity?
A couple minutes.
A couple minutes that people might not know about?
I'll tell you my wood professional building story. I was up here one night in Charlie Thompson's office, which is across the hall, and up about three doors, with Robert P. and Woody, C.V. Wood, and we were talking about the hospital problem. We had two hospitals going and a great big piddling match back and forth between the good old people of Havasu. Everybody had their own idea, of course. And we're sitting there, and we're having a little scotch and water, and we've got an ice bucket and a couple of bottles of scotch. And the meeting went on a little longer than it should have, and we probably didn't notice too much. And we ran out of water. So Woody went down to the bathroom to get more water, but somebody locked the bathroom. You know, it was now 6 o'clock at night or 7. Right. Everybody got home, and he couldn't get any water. So he came back, and he just took the bottle of scotch and poured it over the ice that was left in the ice bucket, and we passed that around and drank it.
That's the way you did business in the old days. Right?
Well, yes. Yeah.
All right.
And the old man was an interesting guy. If you had he and Woody together, Woody did the talking, and he nodded his head usually.
Wow.
But when he did talk, he had a quiet voice. And
right.
You wanted to listen because he was a very bright guy.
Well, Chuck, thank you so much for being on our show today. Chuck Vanderveld and Buck Dopp talking about Havasu, old days.
Right.
And then our next show is going to be on the 3rd of August. And we'll bring back online and let you know who our guest speaker is going to be.
Well, an honor to meet you, sir. And thank you for being here. I'm Paul Lavoie. The Havasu Pioneers Radio Show will continue. Stay with us.
right, another successful episode of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
It was a great show.
You like that, Dan?
I did, you know, getting those people on that played a big role in so many things in our town. It's a lot of fun to bring those folks on.
It's nice to meet the politicians that were before the time I was reporting news.
That's
know?
Right. Well,
I love that.
There was the politicians, and then there was nothing in town.
Right, right, right. All right, on tomorrow's show, oh, and the next Pioneers, Havasu Pioneers radio show is August 3rd.
Exactly, August 3rd at 11 a.m. in the morning. And we're going to bring on a really cool speaker. I'm going to try to confirm that he's going to be on with us. But if he shows up, you're going to have a ball.
Nice. Excellent. On tomorrow's show, we'll have Arizona Secretary of State candidate Michelle Ugenti Rita from Scottsdale. That'll be a really good show. And then on Friday, of course, we'll have District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould, who's also chairman of the Board of Supervisors. All right. Sean Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. Have a great afternoon.
KNTR Talk, AJJJ, HD2, Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.